Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and praise the Lord and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you and praise you. Praise God for joining us on tonight. Hallelujah. We just want to welcome everybody. Hallelujah to the broadcast on tonight. We want to thank those in the chat room, those on the phone lines, those that will be listening into the archives. Hallelujah. We just want to bless God for you on tonight. Glory to God. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2012. We are in the 25th day of 2012. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. Hallelujah. 2012. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Again, I'd like to just welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And we want to go into prayer and just tell God thank you for He has done marvelous things. Hallelujah. So, Father, this is Teresa, Lord, and I just want to say thank you, Lord God. I want to bless your holy name. I thank you for allowing us another chance to come into your presence. I thank you for another chance for allowing us to share your word. Father, I bless your name. I give you praise, glory, and honor because you are truly worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray for, Lord God, anybody listening tonight on the radio, anybody listening tonight on in the chat room, anybody listening tonight in the archives, Father, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will just allow each person listening, if they're not saved, that they will become born again, that they will give their lives over to you, Lord God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Father God, for we know that it's not your will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So, Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that those that are listening tonight who do not know you as Lord, who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord, they will come to know Jesus as Lord on this night, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just want to say thank you. I just want to bless your name and praise you because you are truly worthy of praise. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, hallelujah, and I bless you, Lord God. I bless your name. Thank you. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. I just bless your name, Lord God. I just want to say thank you, hallelujah, God, because you are absolutely marvelous, and I glorify you, hallelujah. So, Father, and I ask that your Holy Spirit will come into this broadcast on tonight, that your Holy Spirit will just come and take over, Father God. Let it not be me, but let it be you, Father God. And I just thank you and give you all praise and glory and honor for it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, Father, I bless your name, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. We just thank and praise God for that. Well, on tonight, you know, I just feel like in my spirit for a couple of days I've been seeing some things, and I've been speaking to a friend of mine, and we kind of just been talking about some things. But one thing that I really wanted to talk about, and I want to talk about this because, you know, I kind of went through this myself. Among other things that I would like to talk about, I want to talk about divorce in the body of Christ. And please understand what I'm saying. I am not promoting divorce for anyone in the body of Christ. I'm not suggesting that anyone get divorced. I'm not suggesting that at all, because we know the Word of God says God hates divorce. But I want to talk about divorce because it's something that's really, 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 really prevalent in the body of Christ. And again, the reason why I want to talk about it is because recently I almost went through a divorce. And when I you know, sought marriage counseling about it, I sought other people about it, and I was looking for a way out, basically. I was looking for a way out, and as I began to, you know, search for this way out, as I began to cry before the Lord, the Lord was just showing me some things, and he was beginning to show me me. A lot of times what spouses do is spouses just decide that, you know, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to take that anymore. And let's just call the whole thing off. Now, what's interesting is what I want to say is that a friend of mine was just here. Well, we used to be friends a long time ago, and, you know, we lost contact for whatever reason. But we've just come back in contact with one another, and we're beginning to speak again. And amazingly, she just said to me, you know, I called off my engagement because, she said I was married before, but I got divorced. And when I said my marriage vows to that person, I never did say I was going to marry them for better or for worse. And I just kind of looked at her, and I was like, wow, that's amazing that you would omit that from your marriage vows. Like, you would just say, okay, I'm not going to stick with this person for better or worse because that's not how I feel about this situation. And, you know, that just confirmed the fact that I thought I would like to talk about, you know, divorce in the body of Christ. And one of the things that I talk to people about and God was talking to me about is do we really give love a chance? And at this point, I want to give a shout out to Pastor Sheila Miller of Straight Gate Church of Faith and Deliverance, because I went to her and, you know, sought her advice and, you know, for marriage counseling, and, you know, was looking for an answer as far as what to do in my marriage relationship. My husband is a man of God. He doesn't hit me. He doesn't abuse me any way physically. He doesn't abuse me verbally. It's just some things were going on within me. And I felt like things should have been another way. And because they weren't another way, I wanted out of the relationship. When I said earlier that, you know, God had to speak to me, the Holy Spirit had to speak to me, God had to teach me and show me and still showing me, you know, that as people of God, we divorce, our divorce rate is equal to and probably now surpassing that of the divorce rate of the world. There was a time when people would get married in the body of Christ and they would stay married, even when their husbands cheated on them, even, you know, when the wives cheated, when, you know, things were going on, you know, people stayed married. They took the for better or for worse thing seriously. If it did get to the point where they got divorced, you know, they didn't marry again. But nowadays people, and I'm talking about people in the body of Christ, we just do anything. We say we marry for love, but the least little thing that comes up, we want to get divorced. I was looking at a celebrity couple that recently just announced their divorce, and I was listening to some of the things that they were saying, and as I was listening to them, it just kept coming in my spirit, do we give love a chance? I mean, whether it's secular, whether it's Christian, do we give love a chance? We are so quick to want to get rid of our marriage partner for the littlest thing, because, you know, my spouse didn't say the right thing to me. They didn't tell me they love me today. They didn't tell me, you know, this, that, or the other. They didn't do this because I wanted them to do it this way. They didn't do it, you know, they did it, but they did it the wrong way. Or, you know, we don't spend enough time together. Or they're too clingy. We spend too much time together. They're not the head of the house. They're not this. They're not that. And when you really sit back and look at the whole scheme of things, where is the love in all of that? Where is the love in the marriage relationship in today's marriages? Where is the love? And again, I want to talk about myself. Not trying to put myself out there like that, but I just want to talk about myself because just a lot of divorce going on, and we are unwilling to forgive and let things go. We're so more willing to hold on to anger and bitterness and resentment and strife and resentment and rebellion, actually. We rebel against the word of God because we refuse to walk in love. So my question to the listening audience tonight, as well as to myself, is do we give love a chance in our marriages before we go to the divorce court and decide to get a divorce? It is so sad when we sit back and think about how God loved us so much that he sent his only son, that he wrapped himself in a body and came down here and died on a cross for our sins. He didn't do anything to us. We were enemies of his by default because of Adam. But the fact remains that Jesus came and died on the cross for our salvation because God loved us so much. And here we are in marriage relationships, and we stand before a holy God. We make vows to one another that we're going to love one another till death do us part. We're going to love one another through sickness and health, through good times and bad, through, you know, rich for richer or for poorer, you know. And yet, a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, you know, 30 days down the line, we're ready to give up and do away with the vows that we made standing before God. We a lot of times we don't pray about our marriages. A lot of times we don't seek God in honesty about our marriages. We go to God about our spouse and we tell God what this spouse is doing and what this spouse is not doing, what we want this spouse to do, how we want them to do it, when we want them to do it. And we don't consider our role in the breakup of the marriage. And I'm saying this and being as honest as I possibly can be, because there are so many marriages in the body of Christ that have broken up already or who are on the verge of breaking up. And pastors are not counseling couples. Pastors that do counsel couples, the couples don't take the advice of the pastor. They just decide that, you know, I'm just going to end this thing right now. I'm just going to let it go. And they move on. Sometimes it looks like marriages cannot be salvaged. But if you really love the person that you marry, if you loved that person when you married them, then we ought to take the time to sit down and think about it. Should I really give love a chance? Should I really give love a chance? If we take our eyes off the person and we go, as my husband and I were instructed to go, to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read about love, read about the Bible kind of love. Whatever Webster's Dictionary says is probably good and all of that, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you cannot go wrong if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which a lot of people call the love chapter because it specifically talks about what love is, what love isn't. And I think that we mistake love as some type of feeling. So let's just read 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read. First Corinthians chapter 13 says, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, I read the entire 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I read it from the New King James Version. And one thing that I wanted to point out is in verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. Okay? Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. It suffers long and is kind. Okay? We don't want to hear that. We don't want to suffer long. We don't want to do anything that is going to take too much time because we want it right then. We want the change to happen right then. And we have to remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were still in our sin, even before we were born. And the Bible says, David said, I was born in sin and I was shaped in iniquity. So, if God can love us, while we were his enemies, we were enemies of the cross, we were enemies to God because of the state that we were born in. But God said, no, I love them. I love them so much. Let me do this. Let me send Jesus. He gave us for sins before we were even born. Just his love just encompasses us so much. It's just God, it encompasses him so much. Just a being of love. And that's what he wants us to be. Those of us, especially who are born again, God wants us to be children of love. He wants us to demonstrate his love to others. He wants us to die to ourselves, just like he died for us. He wants us to give our lives for others as he gave his life for us. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Message Bible, I'm not into all these different translations, but I just want to read this because it's the way of, it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his peace and making everything clear as day. And if I have faith that says something jump and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything to the and even to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but without love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. He said, love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love cares for more others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't trust. Love doesn't have a swelled head. A lot of times we get those because we got a big head. We think we're better than our spouse. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. A lot of times we get the vortex. It's either me first or nothing at all. Okay? Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in following the truth. Love puts up with anything. Well, now, I'm not telling you to put up with getting beat up. Your husband or your spouse is abusing you physically. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not telling you to stay in an abusive relationship. And if that is happening to you, I would ask you to go to the nearest police station and get help. Okay, or a shelter or somewhere to get help. So I'm not encouraging anybody to put up with someone beating you up. And I'm not sure that God would, because God doesn't beat us up. Okay. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Okay. And I like that version from the Message Bible, because it says, the first one on verse 8 says, love never gives up. Love never gives up. And, you know, I bless the Lord for that, because when I was contemplating divorce and the Lord had me really sit down and think about things in my marriage, he had me just really think about, what are you doing? Why are you really getting divorced? Why are you really contemplating a divorce? What has this man done to you that was so bad that you feel like you need to divorce him? So what, you divorce him and then what you going to do, find another person? And then it's still going to be you there with that person. And then, you know, it's going to be a problem with that person and you're going to want to run from that person. So what is the problem? Look at you, get you together. And I was like, Lord, you know, but it's not really about me. You know, this is what I like. This is what I want to see. This is what I'm not seeing. This is it. You know, constantly tell how I think. God's constantly trying to talk to me. And people tell me a lot of times that I've heard people say that God speaks to us. And he speaks to us a lot of times. We're so busy talking, we can't hear what he's saying. And I believe that because I know that God has been trying to speak to me. And I didn't want to hear what he had to say. So I'm here to tell you on tonight that if you're in a marriage and you are having problems in your marriage, I'm not talking about those of you that are having problems with infidelity, those of you that are having problems with physical abuse, okay? I'm going to put infidelity back in the mix because we do need to talk about infidelity. But if you're in a relationship and you're not being physically abused, if your spouse is not beating on you and hitting on you in any type of way, please listen to this. Love never fails, okay? And if you look at love from the eyes of God, and have I totally reached the mark? No, I have not. But as I begin to look at love from God's eyes, and begin to reflect on what he did for me, how he took the time to think about me, how even when I was his enemy, when I was God's enemy, how he forgave me anyway, how he loved me so much and just sent Jesus to take my sin upon himself and cleanse me and wash me and purge me and purify me. When I decided to believe that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus, and I began to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But that love relationship, if you just close your eyes for a moment and just begin to think of the love relationship that God has toward us, and we treat God bad, and, you know, we disrespect God, and we're, you know, we commit adultery with God, you know, those that are not married. You know, we do things to God that are not pleasing to him, yet we want him to forgive us, yet we still want him to love us, yet we want God to forget the things that we've done, throw it into the sea of forgiveness, and, you know, God, don't lay that sin to my charge, and this, that, and the third. But then when it comes to our spouse, we just want to get rid of our spouse and cast them aside as if they're worthless. And maybe some of you are out there on the side where your spouse is trying to get rid of you, and they don't love you enough to you know, stick it out and pray it out and hear from God. But I can tell you that as a woman of 47 years of age, I'm getting to the point where God can speak to me and I listen to him. And when I listen to him, the outcome is far greater than anything I could possibly ask or think. I begin to see my own self and see the filthiness of my own flesh and the nastiness of my own flesh. Am I patient? Am I kind? Does my love fail? Do I really have love? Who am I? What am I contributing to this marriage? What am I doing in this marriage to make my spouse love me? I've said it over and over again to my spouse, why are you still with me? I mean, I look at myself sometimes and I say, you know, if I was him, I would leave me. If the shoes were reversed, if the, you know, shoes were on the other foot, I would leave me if I was him. But he has chosen to stay with me because he has chosen to love according to the word of God. And I'm sure that if my husband wanted to leave me, he could find somebody way better than me. He could, you know, find somebody. It's not about my looks. It's not about, you know, finances. It's not about anything other than love. And I asked him, you know, do you love me? Why are you staying with me? You know, trying to really, really hate him, to give reasons to leave me. That's how, you know, sometimes we, in our foolish thinking, we try to do things to give our spouses a reason, you know, to want to divorce us and to want to leave us. We want to give our spouse a reason to, you know, for them to divorce us, because then we can say, well, I didn't divorce them, they divorced me. Know that game. And it's a trick of the enemy. It's not from God at all. 1 Timothy 13 says, love endures long and is an end kind. Okay, we have to talk about that, because you can be patient and not be kind. You can, you know, put a certain thing or a certain 5 in another translation, it says, love is not conceited, arrogant, and slavery of heart is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecoming. Love, God loving us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or gentle. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness. It rejoices when right prevails. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is never ready to leave the best. It is ever ready to be the best of every person. It hopes that our faith is all such things. It endures everything. Love never fails. It never fades out, and then it becomes obsolete or comes to an end. This is how the writer of 1 Corinthians Paul said, this is how I describe love according to the Bible. We must take time to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we really giving love a chance? Are we really giving love a chance? Do we really love our spouses? Remember the day you got married? Those of us that got married for real, you know, out of love, not because, you know, we were forced into a marriage or we married a person because of their money, you know, or just because of their looks or whatever the case is. But you remember when you got married and how you just were so proud walking down the aisle and how you just couldn't wait to be, you know, the spouse of the person you were marrying and how you just couldn't wait to begin your life together with this person and all the fantasies you had in your mind and how you just couldn't wait, you know, for to live your life happily ever after. And then one day you just wake up and you're like, what happened? Like, how did I get here? And a big problem that marriages that are facing divorce have is there's not a lot of prayer activity in the marriage relationship. Sometimes there's a case where a husband is not being the head of the house in that situation where they are praying with the wife. They're not nourishing and cherishing the wife as the Bible tells us to. I mean, tells the husband to. It says which the husband is to nourish the wife and cherish the wife. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. The Bible tells the husband to give his life for his wife as Christ gave the church. A lot of times that doesn't happen. The Bible tells the wife to submit to her husband. It tells us to submit to one another, but we don't do that either. So we have to read the Word of God and believe the Word of God and trust God enough to know that whatever He says to us, whatever He commands us to do in His Word, He is able to help us to obey Him by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit and we just don't utilize the Holy Spirit. We try to work things out on our own understanding, and it leads us to divorce court because we don't want to trust God. We want to trust ourselves. We want to trust other people. And let me say this, that if I approached my pastor about, you know, this divorce thing, she was like, you don't really need me to instruct you on that. no, I really don't know what to do. And she said, you have the Holy Ghost, you know what to do. And like I said before, I wasn't really trying to hear that. I wanted to hear her agree with me and say, it's okay, you can go ahead and get a divorce. We're going to be all good. You know, things like that. And she wouldn't say it. She knew when the thing was going on with me. She wouldn't back down and, you know, take my side. She